Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 37 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. It's been a big week for the B-Man. This week, I learned of two new terms. Let me explain what they are to you. I was at a dive bar, doing stand-up in front of very few people, which is per usual for me. So I'm on stage, not much action going on. So I start talking to the bartender, who is a lesbian. You would know. She has very short hair, a lot of tattoos. The attire screams lesbian. I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but sometimes you can judge a lesbian by her shoe wear. Anyways, we started talking, and I started asking her about her lesbianism, and she told me she is a gold star. And I was kind of taken aback because I've never heard that term before. So I asked her, can you please tell me what a gold star is? And she told me that a gold star is a lesbian who has never had any sexual contact with a man. So if that is the case, I do believe that makes me a gold star because I have had no sexual interaction with a man other than a hug. So I think I need to get a gold star to put on our backdrop. I'll do that. I probably won't do that, but hey, B-Man, I'm a gold star. Second term, this is big. So the Authentic Observer put out a new video talking about that pop star. What's her name? Andrea Grande. I watched a 2-hour video and I still don't know how to say her name. Anyway, she's that Disney star who became a pop star. I guess a lot of her music was like very poppy, sexual in nature. But recently she stole a man who was married to a woman, and they had just had a baby within the past year. And then this pop star, Andrea Grande, I'm sorry, I don't know what her name is, came in, stole the man, and now all of her Grande's fans got upset with her because of that. So Grande, what the fuck is her name? Well, she's trying to change her image. Like, she's trying to be more of a conservatively dressed 30-year-old, like more of a grown-up. And the Authentic Observer had a lot to say about that image change. And, you know, I'm pro, you know me, I'm pro Authentic Observer anything. So I'm on her side. But anyways, so an Authentic Observer, like, she was in my feed and I found this criticism video of my Authentic Observer who called her a terp. Didn't know what that term meant. Did a little Googling. Turns out a terp is someone who is against trans people and trans rights. The Authentic Observer is not against trans people. So I don't know where this criticism was coming from. But I did learn a new term. You know, language moves quickly on the internet. And speaking of gold star, the B-Man, and a terp, not the B-Man, It's June, so it's Pride Month. Oh, hey, what do I think of Pride and all the parades? I'll say this. I've never been to a parade, so maybe I'm speaking out of a pocket since I've never been to one. I'm talking any parade, like St. Patrick's, like Little League Baseball Parade. I've never been to any of them. So the thing, my big takeaway is, like, the guys who are in these parades, who walk like miles down Main Street wearing a jean denim thong, the confidence to be able to do that. I wish I had the confidence in my body image to walk down the street with people on both sides cheering me on in a thong. My ass, way too flat, way too hairy to ever even consider doing that. That's my big takeaway. I know. Wow. Deep thinker here. It does seem, we had one here in Connecticut, Middletown, a week or two ago, and it does seem like there were more like non-LGBTQ plus people there who just are there to get drunk and get high and party. I think that's what all parades kind of delve into. So I'm not really sure what the gays and lesbians, what they think of those non-gays and lesbians being there. You'd have to speak to one of them. Maybe we'll get one on to talk about that subject matter. It is weird to me, though, that Pride parades are like sponsored by Bank of America. It seems like once you start getting like corporate sponsorships, maybe you don't need a parade. But we're all about partying here, so fuck that. Let's keep partying and let's go Pride. There was something else about the Pride Parades that I wanted to say. Maybe we'll get into it further into the episode. But yeah, it's Pride Month. I like their flag. It's very colorful, much better than that boring Ukraine flag, that blue and yellow. I mean, like who would ever want to fight for a flag under that? Fight for a country who uses that as a flag. All right, let's get into the episode. It comes from a subreddit from some of my favorite people, the subreddit Human Resources. Interns started today and have already had to have a conversation about dress code. As the title states, we have some of our summer interns start today. I've already had to have two conversations regarding dress code. I work for a company in tech, so it's not like we have a suit and tie policy. Jeans are perfectly acceptable. One of the interns showed up in a crop top and really short shorts. Please provide photos next time. And another intern showed up in sweatpants, and not even nice looking sweatpants. They were all ratty at the bottom and looked to have a bleach stain on a knee. This lady is very judgmental. When I spoke to the intern in the crop top, she said that many HR people are posting on TikTok about dress code, and she got this exact outfit from an HR influencer. I have no idea what to say to this. I mean, isn't it obvious that both of these outfits are not good choices for a workplace? I have a conversation coming up in a little while with the person in sweatpants. Emoji. ETA. Yes, we have a dress code section in the employee guidelines. In addition, when the intern signed on for their position, part of the paperwork was to read through the employee guidelines, and they had to know dress code for daily wear and some specific events they're going to have with our executives throughout the summer. We have over 1 million employees. This is not a small company. As for the employee handbook, let's get that out of the way. Nobody reads the entire employee guideline. As for me, I skip right forward to the point where it tells me how many PTO days I get, how many sick days, how much do I make, what the pay schedule is, and what's the bonus structure like. Everything else I'll figure out as I go along. Now, fuck you if you think I'm going to read like a 230-page manual on my first 2 days on the job. And I don't think I'm in the minority there. I think nobody's reading the employee handbook from front to back unless you're like a 4.0 student from Stanford or somewhere like that. Come on, be honest with yourself. Be honest. You write this Reddit post complaining about these two interns, but as soon as they walked in, you got giddy. This is why you went into human resources, to complain about stupid young college interns. As soon as those doors open, you were like, ooh, I got something to do today. I got something to complain about on Reddit. I got something to tell my boring husband later tonight when we go home and have chicken cacciatore for dinner. Like you live for day one intern, June 1st or whatever the day is. When you saw these two, like your eyes lit up. So stop complaining about these, because these two interns made your day. As for the two interns themselves, the one in the sweatpants, pay him no attention because nobody else is going to take that guy seriously. Once the executives see that he's wearing sweatpants, they're never going to hire that guy. So you'll see him for 3 months and then you'll never see him again. And the executives are not going to they're not going to look down on you in HR for some stupid college intern wearing sweatpants that look ratty and have like bleach stains on them. The crop top lady, though, she's a more interesting matter because she is going to be whatever her attire ends up being for this entire internship, whether it continues to be scantily clad, you know, TikTok, trendy HR style, or she does something more business casual, which is complete bullshit. I hate business casual. Be fully clothed in suit tie or have no dress code at all. But that's another rant for another episode of Verbal Graffiti. Or she's going to dress more conservatively, but she's going to dress whatever style she's going to wear clothing. It's going to be tight, form-fitting. So the guys and the fellas, the boys in the office are going to be able to see what her figure is. And she is going to be, this intern, she's going to be the sun of the floor of the office you're in. Like on whatever floor she's on, she's the sun because everybody's going to rotate around her. All the attention is going to be on her, from the boys on the sales floor to the babes who are jealous at her to, yes, the executives. And if this intern in the crop top, if she's smart, she'll push the sales guys aside, pay them no attention, and so wait till one of the elderly executives come in during the summer. And then she'll get tight with that executive. That way, she'll have a sugar daddy lined up for her senior year of college. But everybody, whoever's in the office, they're going to want to be invited to the beer pong tournament after hours at the cool bar around the corner from your office. Everyone's going to want to be invited to that game with her. And because she's young, she's got that style, she's hot. And it's you hate her, but like she's living her life. And, you know, what goes around comes around. There will be a day when she has a muffin top and the wrinkly hair and her hair's all frizzy because she doesn't, and she has all the, you know, the dead, I don't have hair, but, you know, the dead ends of your hair. And she's going to be the guy, she's going to be the woman who the guys walk past without paying her any attention. But right now, she's hot. She's a college senior. Everyone's ogling over her. It reminds me, I worked for this company on Fifth Avenue in New York City for a few years. And we were working there. It had like half cubicles. There was this lady, Sharon, who started working there. Not an intern, but like early, mid-20s, maybe late 20s. But she came in first day, like short skirt, tight top, showing a lot of cleavage. It was like a professional outfit, but she was showing a lot of skin. And immediately, like by lunch the first day, the fatty in our office went to HR to complain about her. And that is who is complaining about this intern in your office. It's not the men. It's the ugly troll-looking lady in the office who views her as competition. Those are the ladies who are upset with her and who ruined the party for everybody else. And that's what happened with Sharon. Like, first few days, she was super hot. Like, she knew exactly what she was doing. She was wearing perfume. She'd come over to my desk and everyone else's desk, and like, she would lean over and ask us questions with her big juicy milk crates of boobs in our, basically just bouncing on top of us, and we loved it. We loved it. At least I know I did. But she was looking for a man. I do believe she ended up marrying a guy in our office. So yeah, hey, she won. But yeah, but eventually she had to like dress a little bit more appropriately, but she still wore tight clothing, which to this day I'm very appreciative of. I just don't like you. I'm not even going to say anything negative about you other than just saying I don't like you. I don't like HR. Any company that has HR departments ceases to be productive and innovative. Because once you have HR, they're like fucking termites. They're just walking around. They're not, you're not thinking about innovation. You're worried about breaking the rules and guidelines. And I can't tell you, the company I work for now, I get so many emails from HR just about DEA, everyone's inclusive, group yoga session, Email, 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 all right? Delete, delete, delete. None of them are about making money, so I want nothing to do with them. I'm not at this company to like make the world a better place and more inclusive. I'm here to collect a check every 2 weeks and make enough money where I can do my passion at night. Having HR, it ruins the vibe. You know, if you get sexually harassed in the office, go to the police. You don't need HR. If you're 3 weeks before you're getting retirement and your boss comes to you and fires you, well, you've been there 30 years. You should have been collecting blackmail. So when they try to can you before retirement, you hit them with that file that you, that cord, that USB cord, whatever, that you saved it, where you blackmail him so you can get your retirement. If, you know, HR departments that got rid of the open bar. Like every office should be Mad Men. We should have bottles of gin and whiskey and vodka. And there should have a liquid lunch that lasts 2.5 hours with a little ass spanking and a little hanky panky with the subordinates. Like that, let's have some fun. I remember I worked at a place where like the front desk lady was the sales manager was fucking her like on the desk after hours, and everyone was cool with it because sales were being made, people were making money, business was good. It was the summertime. There was no HR department, so like everybody knew about it. It was like whatever. This is business. This is America. We fuck. We make money. We progress. That's what life is. Oh, HR departments. By the way, I've been in love twice. Once was a lady who worked for HR and made a lot of money. So it's not all HR people, just the 99.9% of you. Hate's a strong word. I just have so much against you that it's not even worth using negative words to try to describe my feelings about you. You towards you. I think that's enough. Let's get to some photos. I keep forgetting to do this at the beginning of each episode, but if you like what you're watching here at Verbal Graffiti, and why would you not? We got a little bit of marinara sauce. We got a little bit of vegan option. We got meat right off the bone. We have a little bit of everything for everybody's taste. So yeah, if you like what you're watching, remember to like, subscribe, and most importantly, share an episode, a segment, a short, a reel that I've made with somebody else who you think might like my sense of humor. That's how we're going to grow this project and maybe be able to improve the production value of it here at Verbal Graffiti. Now with all that shameless plugging. Please share. Just vomit. With that out of the way, I hate doing that. One more disclaimer. There has been some talk on the internet that I am a member of the Black Illuminati. That is false. To be man, I am not in the Black Illuminati, nor have I ever been. I don't have anything against the people, the lizards in the Black Illuminati. They've never approached me, nor have I ever reached out to them. Keep doing what they do. We'll keep doing what we do. Now that I was able to put that to bed, let's get into another segment here at episode 37. This comes from the subreddit Fine Dining. No words here. I'm just going to post a few photos of plates that members of this subreddit at Fine Dining have posted. I will say, this is it. Like if I was at this restaurant and this was a plate put in front of me, I would look up at the waitress and go, Hey Buttercup, can you go back to the kitchen and get me the prime rib I ordered? Because this is not enough to be a main entree. I look at these plates and I see hors d'oeuvres. It reminds me of all the weddings we've been to where, you know, you have the wedding vows and then you have the cocktail hour where the servers will walk around with plates of hors d'oeuvres. That's what these are. These are like snack size, like these are almost like a cock tease. I guess we could call it more of a mouth tease. It's like just enough to wet your palate, but not enough to to like fill your belly. And to be man, I don't have a big belly. Like I'm 160 pounds. There's barely a belly there to be filled. Like if this isn't going to fill me, this is not going to fill the normal American person going out to a fancy restaurant. Like enough. I would stand up. I go enough with the snack size Snicker bars. Like the B man, I need a king size candy bar to fill my stomach up. There's a comedian who is much more successful than me. His name's Tim Dillon. You probably have heard of him. He's been on Joe Rogan a number of times, and he has a very successful podcast of his own. And he tours all over the country doing theaters. He grew up in Long Island. His family, rough upbringing kind of, but he had family members who were in the restaurant business, and he talks about food a lot. And Tim said the big like secret to knowing if it's a good restaurant or not is if it has if the tables have white tablecloths over them, like real tablecloths over the table. So he said just bypass. If you're in a major city, bypass restaurants that have, you know, that are trendy, that have neon lighting, that are, you know, pumping music, that are trying a lot of ambience. That just find the low-key restaurant with the white tablecloth, and chances are you'll get a very good, high-quality meal. And that's kind of my another big takeaway from these photos is the tablecloth is super smooth. There is not a wrinkle to be found in those tablecloths. They are as smooth as a porn star's Brazilian wax. And they impressed me so much. If I was at one of these restaurants, that's what I would talk about afterwards, not just like that night, but for years to come. It would not be like the strawberry flavored creme brulee that's in the little roaster thing. No, it'd be about how smooth the tablecloth was, how there was no wrinkles. And I would ask my family members to mention it in my obituary when I die, which I think I'm going to die very early. I'm not going to make it to 70. None of the guys in my family, we have terrible genes. So enjoy me, the B-man, the people's degenerate, why you can. This restaurant's the food, just like that's not enough food to feed Tiny Tim in the Christmas Carol. I need a larger hen than that. And I've mentioned this before. I'm not a big foodie guy. Just give me three McDoubles and a large fry, a vanilla milkshake, or a chicken burrito with guac and hot sauce at Chipotle. That's all I need. I don't need foods that I don't know how to pronounce. What I need, though, is time. Because if you're going to go to a fine dining restaurant, I'm going to assume that's the type of place that you need to put in for a reservation months in advance. And when you go there, you're not just going there with some floozy you're trying to fuck in the back of your Camry afterwards. So you're going there with a dinner party of educated, of well-cultured individuals, of people you want to learn from. So when we sit down to have a meal, for me, in my imagination, it's not so much about the meal as it is the conversation I'm going to have with this dinner party. And that's why I need a big prime rib, because I need time to convince my dinner party I need time to discuss the assassination of Julius Caesar and be able to just give my viewpoints on the empire versus the republic and how I truly believe that Constantine II has had more of an impact on modern Western culture than Julius Caesar has. I know I'm in a minority with that opinion, but I need time to convince my party. And don't even get me started. Do not even get the B-man started with the illegitimacy of the Julio Clock. What is it? I wrote it down. The Julio Claudian dynasty. Like, how the fuck are you going to give the crown to Tiberius, the stepson of Augustus? Like, he's the stepson. That's not blood related. You can't have an empire around blood that's not a real bloodline. Like, we learned that from Roman Reigns in the WWE this past 3 years. Like, giving Tiberius the crown, in Italy. Like that's almost where it's like if you know New Haven Pizza, like Sally's Pizza, it's one of the best pizzas in the country. There have been people who have worked at Sally's Pizza who have gone on to open their own Sally's Pizza around the country, and they'll go, oh, this is the real Sally's. But it's like, no, you're not the real Sally's. Like, you're not blood relatives of Sally. Like, yeah, you stole the name, you stole the recipe, but this ain't the Sally Empire, the pizza New Haven that made, that put the, you know, the that put New Haven on the map nationally. Same thing with the fucking Julio, with this fucking non-bloodline empire. Well, see how I think I go off on tangents there? That's what I need when I'm fine dining. I'm cutting a piece of meat. I'm eating my prime rib. I'm chewing, but I'm thinking of a rebuttal against some dum-dum's comment across the table from me. Because I'm gonna hit him. I know so much about Constantine II that he's gonna have to rescind his comments and take my stance, because I'm going to win the argument. Because if I'm paying $500 for this fine dining meal, you bet your damn ass the B-man's going to win an argument. I'm not going to take the L and have to pay pull the bill at the end of the night. No, that's not happening here. So yeah, fine dining, I need larger plates. This, it's a cock tease. You're ripping me off. I'm going to McDonald's afterwards. If this is what fine dining is, no thanks. None of us at Verbal Graffiti want any part of that. We'll go to Chipotle or make our own spaghetti here in my mom's kitchen. All right. Till next episode, go suck a fat one.